Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only me talking the truth, only me talking the truth, ayy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Taz and the Moose with you right here on this Monday morning. CBS Sports Radio coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Mike Pete across the way. Heller, your updates for 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go as we kick off this hour with what was a pretty eventful weekend for the New England Patriots. No, not their game against the Jets, which they pretty much took care of business. They did not cover after they got sloppy special teams defensive touchdown by Gangreen, or two defensive scores, I should say. But aside from that, as they win that game and had full command of that game, as there's issues in New York with the Jets and for Adam Gase with their third-string quarterback, but for New England, they get rid of and cut Antonio Brown and get rid of the embattled wide receiver, playing off the tremendous piece by Robert Klemko in Sports Illustrated last week. A full investigative report into the background of Antonio Brown and some of the antics and stories surrounding him. Kraft and Belichick make the decision to get rid of Antonio Brown, and then Brown goes on a Twitter tirade yesterday, in which he calls out Kraft, calls out Ben Roethlisberger, just two that he called out yesterday. Shannon Sharpe in a Twitter storm, basically pointing to their sexual assault allegations, or in Kraft, the fact of him in a strip mall soliciting sex. As we talked about last year, before the AFC Championship game out in Kansas City, down in FLA, and the embarrassing saga that was for Kraft, and the investigation, the criminal investigation that ensued. So, and then pointed out the fact of wanting to get the money that he was due, the $9 million signing bonus that he got, or $9 million guaranteed when he signed that contract with the New England Patriots. So, the tweets were up. He went on this Twitter storm. Then the tweets were taken down. But for the New England Patriots, the drama just persisted.
This whole thing is just, it's just been, I've never seen anything like this, not just in sports, in mainstream sports, in pro wrestling. I've never seen, like, this thing has been, it's almost like someone should do a documentary, a movie on this thing, like about Antonio Brown and this whole saga from since last year, with leaving the Steelers and whatnot, segueing into everything with the Raiders, the Patriots, and how his thing just crumbled. And he is just, he really has to figure out what's going on. I hope the guy's okay, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know what the deal is. There's just, he's used social media a good amount early on to help get himself out there and get better deals. And of course, he's got a great agent. But, and we talked about how athletes use social media the right way. This guy also has made some major problems that hurt him because of social media, and he's so just out there, and all these issues and these allegations, and you know, him not chilling out and just staying low and just let things work out, and he's claiming he's innocent and all that, and no one's saying he's guilty. I mean, I haven't heard anyone say the guy's guilty yet until there's proof. But look, the Pats, they cut him loose, and They just, they don't, you know, once he went back at the young lady and talked about her children and was kind of aggressive towards her on a Twitter and stuff like that. And
well, text on Instagram.
Text, I'm sorry, text. I'm saying Twitter. You're right, text. Thank you. And, yeah, that I guess, was the final blow. And I read somewhere, I heard it somewhere, because, as you know, Moose, there's been so much content about this whole weekend, about the Antonio Brown stuff. Didn't Kraft say somewhere that he's kind of, like, Antonio Brown kind of rubbed him the wrong way anyway? Like, he wasn't crazy about him. Like, I don't think he was crazy about the signing. I'm paraphrasing the whole story. Like, it didn't seem like Kraft really wanted him there anyway. That's kind of the vibe Kraft's putting out there.
Right, you can throw the punchline in there if you like as well. I did see that story as well. But he agreed to the signing nonetheless.
Right. True.
It's got to pass his desk and get his approval as the Patriots owner, he and his son, before Bill Belichick's going to bring in a guy that's been as divisive as Antonio Brown. A couple of things hit me in terms of Brown, who said he's done with the National Football League, and we'll see where this suit does go in terms of Antonio Brown trying to collect the $9 million guaranteed that he thought he was getting from the Patriots. But, I mean, there's also a personal conduct clause in that and everything like that. I mean, you know, when Antonio Brown is sending intimidating text to the artist that was one of the subjects in that piece by Sports Illustrated, and pictures of her children. I mean, there's no way to define it. I mean, that is crossing the line. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And the Patriots had enough. Belichick, I think you started to hear it toward the end of last week, had enough when he cut it down. He got interviewed yesterday by Dana Jacobson before the game. You know, gave her a death stare when he asked the question, which is completely uncalled for if you're Bill Belichick. Well, I mean, Dana Jacobson is just doing her job and asking the question that needs to be asked at that point in time. She's doing her job as a reporter. And for him to then stare her down and try to intimidate her by asking that question, like, how dare you? Well, shame on you. You're the one that opened yourself up to this conversation. You're the one that opened yourself up to these questions because you decided to bring the player in.
Right. I agree with you. And what he did with Dana Jacobson was really wrong. And he's been around a long time. Belichick has been interviewed for years, radio, TV, for decades, right? Okay, we all know that. He knows how this works. He knows when someone, this is not a press conference. This is not you at a podium. It's not a presser. This is not a guy or girl who works for a publication that's asking you questions on their own. This is a woman, okay, a TV interview personality, on-camera announcer, who's getting someone in her, for those of you that don't know how this works, because a lot of people might not notice, she is getting asked, they're telling her, the TV truck is telling her, hey, ask this question. She's not coming up this on her own.
Oh, I don't think that.
I think that.
I think she's coming up. I mean, there might be a producer and they have conversations. She's not being fed questions.
I think a lot of most TV, from what I understand, I've done it, and you get fed questions when you're interviewing someone. To your point, maybe you're right. I mean, it's tough.
I mean, Dana's done CBS News. She did the morning show here. I mean, she might have a producer where they go over questions that she's going to ask or thinking about. She's not being told in her ear what to ask him.
Right.
I
think she was. But whatever. Listen, we could agree to disagree. That's fine. I'm not going to get into big debate over it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you know what? I agree with you in regards to, who the hell are you, Bill Belichick, to stare this woman down, no matter if it's a man or a woman, because you make a great point, Moose. He opened himself up for this. You took this guy on your team. You knew the baggage that came along with it. So, and now, because this person's doing her job, and that's her job. She asked the right question.
Yeah, she did.
And she wasn't disrespectful. And then you give her a look like you want to get into, you want to scream at her or yell at her or, whatever. It was very immature and very unprofessional by Bill Belichick.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, don't disagree in that essence in any way, shape, or form. And that's where Belichick looks very, very poor. He looked poor last week trying to answer those questions as well. When other guys in a position like that, you heard Aaron Boone addressing it when talking about Domingo Germán with the Yankees last week, and other managers and coaches have been put in that spot when dealing with assault cases or assault allegations or domestic violence and the like. And
You know, Belichick, you know, showed just, you know, really what he is. And it can't just be all about football when it can be so much more than just football. When you look at the players that are representing your franchise, and you brought him in for Brown here, Taz, you know, I know Drew Rosenhaus came out and said basically that that there are a couple teams but that have shown interest, but they want to see how the legal case or the civil case does play out, how the investigation with the National Football League does play out. That was before he called out his retirement, which I think is complete and utter nonsense. If the New Orleans Saints came calling today and said, we'll give you this contract, I mean, Antonio Brown would be there lickety-split. If any other team in the NFL came calling, I mean, it's a case of him saying, I'm done with the NFL, because the NFL right now is done with Antonio Brown. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So it's easy to hop on Twitter and say, I'm done. I'm washing my hands. I'm all done. Well, when nobody wants to sign you, it's easy to say you're done with the NFL because nobody's looking to sign you at this stage because you are a catastrophic disaster.
Yeah, he's that. That's Antonio Brown. He is, unfortunately for him. I mean, he is. Yeah, as far as Rosenhaus saying there are a couple teams interested, they want to see how it plays out, I don't believe him. I don't believe Drew Rosenhaus at all. I think he's trying to create some kind of buzz again for Antonio Brown, just to kind of keep people warm on him, meaning owners of teams. I don't believe him. My gut, I just go by gut. No one tells me that. I don't have any sources or none of that stuff. I just go by my feelings. And I just, when I heard him say that and put out there that, well, there's a couple teams that are warm on Antonio, want to see how this thing plays out, I'm thinking, brother, you working everybody. You lying. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought when he said that. But, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe Antonio Brown, to your point, maybe him saying, I'm done with the NFL. Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably like, look, he knows the NFL's done with him. He knows nobody's going to take a shot at him right now, and they're not. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people joke around about the XFL and stuff like that. Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, that could happen. And, you know, you mentioned a while ago here, Moose, while you and I were talking about the XFL, the new XFL that's coming, and that they need a star or a couple of stars. Now, I could tell you, and maybe this isn't the topic we're going to get into, but I'll just say it just so, you know, people get my opinion on this, because I've worked with Vince and under Vince for so many years, McMahon, that is. He will not put up with this. Like, he will not, like I'm talking about, like, any of this ridiculous stuff that Antonio Brown does, like, dude, he'll be, like, gone. Like, Vince, right, don't play.
Yeah.
But if Antonio Brown, maybe the stuff that's going on with these allegations, maybe things settle down or whatever, who knows what happens, and it comes out that he is innocent or hypothetics and the civil lawsuit goes away and what happens or whatever, and then maybe time away from the game, he humbles a little bit, and then I'm putting a cart ahead of the horse here, and maybe he goes and plays for an XFL team. Could you imagine if he has a come to Jesus with himself and he gets some maturity, this guy could be the hood ornament for the XFL. He could be. I don't think he'd want to do that, but I'm just saying.
No,
it's a good conversation.
You're right. I mean, he could be. I think he's so toxic, though. I have a hard time thinking. The only thing, you're launching that league, you're bringing it back, you want it to be successful. Yeah, you need stars, but do you need this star?
I think Vince does need this star. My opinion, I think he does, because he's so damn good. Here's the thing, though, Moose, there's a lot, right, with this.
A guy that's texting a woman, trying to intimidate her, sending pictures of the kids.
I understand. I'm just saying that's why I'm saying in a perfect world, rainbows and butterflies here, right? Let's pretend world, right?
For sure.
Antonio, and people change. People have an epiphany, and a light goes off, and people become born again, no matter if it's religious or not. And they find themselves, and they say, you know what? I've made a lot of mistakes. It's time for me to look in the mirror and have some accountability. Maybe that happens with Antonio. Maybe that happens, and it takes a year or whatever, or 6 months, whatever it is, and he finds himself. And next thing you know, he finds himself. It could be crazy, but trust me, the longer he's out of the NFL and the closer XFL debut comes, the more people then will talk about Antonio Brown. I'm just doing it first.
Yeah.
So,
no, I gotcha.
It's going to happen, maybe. Going to happen, I should say. But if he doesn't clean up all of this mess, and if he keeps, to your point, being the way he is, no, Vince won't touch him.
Well, I would like...
He will, to your point.
I guess I would look at it as, I mean, he's done so much damage. How exactly, you know, can he clean it up? It's not like he had a fight with a teammate or anything like that. All of his behavior away from the football field and what he has shown him to be as a true person looking down on people, intimidating someone he did not pay for an art piece of artwork that she paid, right? The civil lawsuit and the sexual assault, all right? Her story of him walking behind her. I mean, I would not, I've got to be honest with you, I would never want Antonio Brown, if I was an NFL owner or football, I would never want Antonio Brown to represent my franchise.
Right. No, I mean, I
don't know. I guess I'm looking at a path, Taz, where how do you, besides the talent of the player, and he's a really good player, I don't disagree with you, I don't know how he cleans all of this up. I don't know how he does an interview with Josina Anderson on ESPN or does an interview with somebody on the NFL Network. I mean, how exactly does he clean this all up and say, I'm sorry for my behavior in the past? Is that enough to then for a team to reinvest in Antonio Brown and believe exactly what you're saying? Or is it a case of he's a desperate man looking to make the money and he's willing to do anything he can to try and sell you something that might not indeed be true? Because then wouldn't you believe that when he got paid, that kind of behavior would come back again? I mean, I would have a hard time ever investing in Antonio Brown and believing that he would. And from an XFL perspective, it is such a gamble. He's coming back into this league. The AAF failed. You would trust Antonio Brown at some point a year from now, a year and a half from now, that he's not going to implode and bring negative attention to the league?
Listen, there's a lot to unpack there, what you just said. And a lot of it are very valid points. But, I mean, and it's how do you clean up? How do you – I mean, yeah, I mean – I would guess that if maybe one or the civil law, the assault lawsuit goes away where the person's like, maybe it comes. This happens all the time. People have, they try to sue someone and then it comes out that, well, there wasn't enough proof or this or that or truth or there was a relationship. It was a bad breakup. I know about the text messages. Don't get me wrong. I know that. I'm saying people get second and third chances in life and people do change no matter how old they are. People make mistakes and people, through the right counseling and help at times can change and do change. Maybe that's, I don't think as a human, we could just give up on Antonio Brown. I'm saying maybe if things work out where somebody, some things, I don't go away is the wrong word, but the truth comes out. Maybe Antonio Brown's not as guilty as people think with some of these allegations.
Well,
maybe, hypothetically.
If I've taken Vince McMahon, how much money has he taken of his own money? $500 million?
Well, yeah, something. I think even more than that. I can't remember the number, like that.
Okay, for perfect world or just kind of, sunshine and rainbows. I take $500 of my $1 million, right? I'm a billionaire, and I'm starting a league. And I know, and I want to make my league right. And I've talked about having the right guys and nobody in trouble with the law and everything like that. One of the guys that I'm going to bring in is a guy that's had numerous companies drop him for his behavior because they want no part of him. That the NFL has washed their hands of him because basically they've had enough, who can't get out of his own way. I have a hard time looking at him and saying that I'm looking to take that kind of a gamble initially and bringing him into the XFL. I mean, that's why I don't think he's coming back to the NFL anytime soon.
You're putting me in a position to be an advocate for Antonio Brown, and I'm not.
I'm not putting you in a position.
Because I have to say this. There's still nothing criminal on him. No, he's a civil lawsuit.
It has nothing to do with the criminal behavior.
Right.
What's the selling? Nobody wants to be a part of Antonio Brown.
I know. I agree with
you. You've had companies drop him left and right. He's no longer a selling point.
Right. He's getting a rep of being a bad guy, sure.
No. Well, he is a bad guy.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I regardless of what happens with this civil lawsuit, I don't look at Antonio Brown as all of a sudden.
Well, you're right, the text messages.
I don't look at Antonio Brown as all of a sudden being a guy that's been misrepresented.
Right.
Or people are taking things out of context. I mean, I look at him as being a bad guy. I would have a hard time looking at him, Taz, and saying, I want that guy to be a part of my team. And put the XFL out of the equation. If I'm a National Football League team, I'm looking at him and saying, I want no part of Antonio Brown.
Right.
What the hell do I need this headache for? I can find a way to win.
Vince might need the headache. I don't mean headache. Vince needs star power, where these NFL owners, they have a lot of stars. And they've been to this dance before, and Antonio's been to this dance before. That's all the reason why I'm bringing up XFL.
But
he's going to be motivated, Antonio Brown, to stick it to the NFL.
No,
motivated.
I understand that. I understand. But when he would then be looking at that as a stepping point to get to the National Football League, and you're going to be selling the league, right? Vince is looking to do it the
Correct.
Right way.
Yes.
Doing it the right way is bringing a character in like Antonio Brown, who is as bad of a guy as you could possibly imagine.
If the guy rehabilitates himself, if the guy shows signs, I'm just saying, and I know Vince believes in second chances. I know it. I've seen him doing wrestling a lot. And but if he is, if it stays the way it is right now, and the guy doesn't, no, Vince won't touch him. I agree with you on that.
Well,
he won't.
I mean, you would trust him.
I'm not saying Vince would trust him. Vince has people at work for him now he don't trust.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's yeah. business, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, it's an interesting story, but for Brown here, he buried himself. We'll see where this thing goes in terms of trying to collect the money from the New England Patriots. But as far as getting back into the NFL anytime soon, that's not what happened. The future of Antonio Brown, he says he's done with the XFL, with the NFL. We'll see if maybe the XFL's in his future. Hear from you at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Taz Moose. On a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Football season. Well, it's back, and there's no sweeter way to celebrate than by adding Snickers and Skittles, the official candy sponsor of the NFL, to your game day spread. And Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with a full day of games, including the Bills defending their home turf against the Patriots, followed by the Vikings and Bears in the key NFC North battle. It all begins with our team previewing the day's games on the NFL today at noon Eastern. Only on CBS. So good conversation there about Antonio Brown, his future, potentially, maybe, down the line, XFL, we will see. He said he is done with the National Football League. We'll find out if that is indeed the case way down the line. They're certainly done with him right now. 855-212-4CBS. If you want to chime in on that, we'll get to the Buffalo Bills, Taz's Bills, who were undefeated. Nice victory yesterday against the hard-hitting Cincinnati Bengals up there in Orchard Park. Heller's in the house. What's going on, Brad?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Brad. How are you,
buddy? Hey. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Right. You know, it's hot and humid. It's supposed to be hot and humid outside here today.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, but then I get
Indian
in here.
Indian summer? They call it Indian summer, right? Because it's fall?
Yeah, first day of fall
first
today.
First day of fall. So I'm wearing short sleeves, as you would on a hot summer day. And then I walk into this... the ice box, and I'm prepared.
It's chilly.
Very cold in here.
But it's the way you guys like
temperature
it.
Temperature or no temperature, yes. It's the way it goes here.
That's exactly the style here.
You ice people out.
Cold-ass Jones, ice everyone out. Ice each other out, ice you out, ice Mike out, Pete, no matter who's around, we iced them out.
No doubt.
That's how it's done here. But welcome
to the show.
And all right, guys. Good morning to you.
Hey. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, good morning.
And this report is sponsored by the National Association of Realtors. Realtors do more than buy and sell homes. They stand up for your right to own one, too. That's what realtors do. We'll start with the Sunday night game in Cleveland. The Rams beat the Browns 20-13. The Browns getting inside the Rams 5 with under a minute to go. Four straight pass plays. The last one, Baker Mayfield, was picked off in the end zone. Head coach Freddie Kitchens questioned his own play calling on that final drive. And also earlier in the fourth quarter, a draw play on 4th and 9 in Rams territory.
I was proud of the way the defense battled. Just kept battling, kept coming back. Offensively, it was tough going, but those guys kept fighting, and that's the only thing you can ask for. I got to do a better job for them.
The Browns are 1-2, the Rams 3-0. Also 3-0, the Niners for the first time in 21 years.
With 1:29 to play, still in the huddle with 12, 11, 10. Now they break it and they run up on the ball, a lot like the Rams do. 5 seconds on the play clock. Quick snap. Garoppolo throws end zone. It is caught by Dante Pettis.
Greg Papa, Niners Radio. Niners beat the Steelers at home 24-20 despite committing 5 turnovers. Pittsburgh is 0-3. Also 3-0, the Chiefs, the Packers, Patriots, the Bills, and the Cowboys. Dallas got off to a slow start, but then a big second half against the Dolphins.
At the Miami 19, in the gun. Elliott goes out in the pattern to the right, and he throws it down to the goal line. A perfect strike to Amari Cooper. Touchdown, Cooper!
Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio. Second touchdown catch for Amari Cooper. Cowboys over the Dolphins, 31-6. Patrick Mahomes threw for 374, 4 touchdowns as the Chiefs top the Ravens. Patriots and Bills, by the way, will play each other next weekend. The Giants get their first win, 32-31 over the Bucks. That'll be huge up in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it. Because I think the Bucks stops with us with that team, but that's all another story.
Yeah.
You brought that up. It depressed me.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's okay.
I've never seen a more depressed 3-0 fan of a 3-0 team than Utah.
I don't want to lose to those guys, and I don't like our chances. It's just because it's just you're beaten down by them, you know, for years. They just win.
Yeah.
So that's all the Patriots.
Frustrating, you know. So anyway, that's it.
Well, the Giants, they win as they beat the Bucs. Daniel Jones, his first NFL start, 2 touchdown runs, 2 touchdown passes. He scored the go-ahead touchdown, 4th down, a 7-yard run with just over a minute to go. The Bucs missed a field goal at the end that would have won the game. The Saints getting 2 touchdown passes from Teddy Bridgewater. They beat the Seahawks in Seattle. Kyle Allen, 4 touchdown passes, filling in for Cam Newton. The Panthers also sacked Kyler Murray 8 times as they beat the Cardinals in Arizona. Baseball, the Astros, they're AL West champs, 3rd year in a row. They beat the Angels. George Springer, 3 home runs. Houston is a half-game lead on the Yankees for the best record. The Cardinals clinching a playoff berth as they finished off a sweep of the Cubs, 3-2. St. Louis's lead is 3 games in the NL Central and the Brewers. Brewers and Nationals in a virtual tie for the 2 NL wildcard spots. The Cubs are 4 games behind as they've lost 6 in a row. The AL wildcard race, the A's, a 2-game lead for the top spot. Rays and Indians are all even for the final spot with a week to go, guys.
All right. Thank you, Brad. I'll chat with you next hour. Good stuff, man. We mentioned Brad brought up your Bills 3-0, Taz. You got to be happy.
I am happy. You know how it is. If you're a fan of a team that could sometimes implode at any time, you know, you're a little cautiously optimistic, and that's kind of what, you know, when you're a Bills Mets fan, that's kind of your life. So, yeah, a 21-17 victory at home, which was nice. So, you know, they beat the Bengals, which they kind of stink, but yet the Bengals made an adjustment at halftime and came out and now played the Bills. You know, that's what got me nervous. And they put up, you know, 17 points in the second half, and it was, you know, it was nerve-wracking, but they were able, the Bills were able to shut it down and win the game at the end of the day. But it wasn't easy peasy. I thought it'd be a simple little victory, a run through them, but that's not what happened. But Josh Allen, you know, he played okay, over 240 yards, 23 of 36. He did have one interception that was a bad interception, but otherwise he played okay.
Yeah, listen, you find a way to win the game.
I know.
It hasn't been the prettiest way to get yourself to 3-0. The great comeback against the Jets, struggled a little bit last week before, you know, kind of dropping the hammer on the Giants, and then led this one early, dominating the first half, and then came back to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. So, but you're still 3-0 nonetheless.
I know. That's
really what it comes down to. Now you take on the Patriots next week, and it's a battle of 2 3-0 teams, and you know, the place is going to be rocking, so it's going to be a great atmosphere, and there's things to work on, but you'd rather, as we've said in the trade time and time again, you'd rather work on those things coming off a win than a bad loss, and you have to find a way to win that game. I talked about it Friday, Taz. You know, how do teams handle success? The Bills were 2-0, going back home opener, place rocking, celebrating. How they handle success? Yes, they didn't dominate Cincinnati. They did for a half, but they found the way to win the game nonetheless.
Right. No, you're right. And look, So the Pats come into town. They go up to Buffalo. They play the Bills at home. That's a huge thing. That's because the Bills are real tough at home, and the fan base is so rabid, and they're going to be so loud. You know, whenever Brady's under center, but Brady's dealt with this a zillion times in his life, so it does. It's not going to faze him. You know, I mean, but I do think it's a plus to a degree because the Bills are home. We'll see. I mean, we have all week to break down the game and get into what might happen and stuff like that, but. Yeah, you're right. They're 3-0. I should be happy with that, but you know, I worry. That's all.
No, I get it. But that's being a fan.
I thought they would beat up on the Bengals when they did. That's my point.
I got you. I thought they were all well on their way, and the Bengals showed you a little gumption in the second half, especially. Yeah. You know, after Cincinnati got ran over the week previous at home by Jimmy Garoppolo, Shanahan, and the San Francisco 49ers, but it's a win nonetheless. It wasn't the prettiest thing. They're not the best team in the AFC, but they are 3-0. And up next is the New England Patriots, and the Patriots had their way with the Jets yesterday. There's really nothing to break down about that game besides the ineptitude of Gase and that offense. It was kind of you thought it was going to be a bloodletting, and that's exactly what it got. But after the game, Tom Brady is hitting these Instagrams. Have you seen these videos that Brady's posting? So the first week, he's posted them after the first couple of victories. Yesterday, he gave you another edition from his backyard. Take a listen.
Great win today, fellas. Philly Josh. Jules flying around like usual. The big fellas up front. Sony and Rex getting in the end zone. And, of course, the defense balling again. Dad, what do you think? 3-0.
On the Buffalo.
It's so good.
I can't take it. I didn't know anything about this.
It really is. His dad was there. His son was there. Wearing the 12 Tom Brady jersey. Then they show highlights from the game as well. Mix in the music, too. He doesn't look like he's in his early 40s. He looks like he's about 28, 29 years of age. But he's doing this thing on Instagram right after these Patriot victories and connecting. And on to Buffalo, go the Pats.
I got to tell you, just hearing that, I haven't seen it. I'm not going to go to his Instagram and look at it.
Oh, it's great.
But I'm going to tell you this right now. Just on hearing that from his family and him and them rubbing it in everyone's faces, how dare they? I'll tell you this right now. I hope I would take the Bills win. I hope we win next week, and I don't care if we lose every game after that. Next week's a Super Bowl for me. That hearing that audio from Brady and his old man, okay, and this kid running around with the jersey, okay, and they own their millions of dollars and all happy sitting there eating pulled pork that they probably catered and mac and cheese that's probably the best mac and cheese anyone's ever had.
Brady doesn't eat mac and cheese. Come on, Tess.
You get my point. But maybe he's eating avocado spread
or whatever. Avocado ice cream.
Spreading. Listen.
Very clean eater.
Next week, Super Bowl. That's what this is.
Philly, Josh, Jules flying around like
Pats are a touchdown favorite.
That's it.
That's a touchdown favorite. I mean, you're 3-0. I would hope. I mean,
where's the smart money? What do you do?
I don't know where the.
No, well, if you're let's pretend you're a betting man.
The Patriots.
There it is. That's it. All right. I figured you'd say that, and I agree. I mean, if I was a betting man, that's what I would do too.
Yeah, I would probably.
Even though you're getting 7 at home. The Bills get 7 at home.
Yeah, I'd still probably take New England. Because here's the one thing about the Pats defense is very, very good.
That's what I'm worried about.
The Patriots defense is very good. They're smart. They're well coached. They're in the right position to be successful. I mean, and listen, the Bills could prove me wrong, but I would probably take New England plus minus the 7.
Well, you know, the other thing on this, though, like during this Bengals game yesterday, there were moments in the second half of the game, and I'm like, where they were making Andy Dalton, look like he was the next Tom Brady. I mean, it was like, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, and I know the Bills have a really good defense, but, you know, there were moments in there, I mean, where Dalton looked really good. There were holes. Tom Brady is, I'm sorry, Bill Belichick right now as we're doing this show live, he's sitting in his office watching that Bills-Bengals game.
Well, they were watching it probably last night.
They probably were.
They were watching it last night. As Brady was posting that video, the coaching staff was watching that video. But it doesn't – listen, they don't. As long as you win, they don't have to be the prettiest thing. You could look at teams that held on for – the Patriots held on for dear life and finally made a couple plays to win the AFC Championship game. But they got dominated in the second half when the Chiefs finally woke up offensively. Anybody remembering that in Kansas City? No, they lost the game.
True,
so
that's true.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be the prettiest thing. Just win.
I know. Next week.
I mean, just find a way to win.
I hope we beat them by 2 touchdowns.
Let's head out, though. We'll see. Houston, it's Texas. Yeah. It's Joseph. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Good morning.
Joe, what's up?
Hey. Bro, why are you beating yourself up about your team, man?
I'm worried.
Stand fast.
I know.
I know you're worried.
I'm worried, man. Look, I'm worried.
Look, Taz.
Yes.
Look, man. You got to have some faith, all right? I was born in Detroit, right? I've been a Lions fan my whole life. Very depressed.
God bless you.
You know the deal, so you understand, Joe. You get it.
Yeah, but there's going to be somewhere that they're going to catch a scheme that they're not suited for. They're going to lose one game this season, and I think they have an opportunity to actually win that game against the Pats. I'm going to take Buffalo and my points, and I'm gonna pray, all right? And I suggest you do the same thing.
Joe, you just became my favorite caller. You did.
Anytime you're putting money down and you're saying, I'm going to take Buffalo and the points and then pray, that's really not a great betting angle.
Somebody's got to beat them this year.
That's what you are. You are Las Vegas's dream.
Well,
I am.
But I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right, Joe. Really,
I got them winning, and I'm going to stand fast with my Patriots to win it all. Like I said at the beginning of the season, and Texas was still my sleeper, and everybody's looking good.
What about the Lions, Joe?
Stafford has not been sacked in the past 2 games, and that is amazing. So if they can just keep him upright, and some of them rookies step up and play ball, I think that they got a real opportunity to take that division. Now, they got Green Bay. Green Bay's always been that 70-yard pass from Rodgers to Rodgers in the fourth quarter, decimates the Lions. If they can hold him down, I think that they got a good chance of going somewhere too this season, man. It's been a great season so far.
So far it has. And hey, Marvin Jones Jr. had a great day for you guys yesterday, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know what you're going to do with AB on your fantasy team, but...
He's gone, bro. He's gone. I dropped him already. He's done.
Yeah, I think he's done him. I told you Friday about the issues along that Eagle defensive line, and they've got massive issues. Chris Long retirement. They trade away Michael Bennett for a fifth-round draft choice up to the New England Patriots because they didn't want to pay him. And they're having issues getting after the quarterback, and that's creating problems down there in Philadelphia. The line for the Detroit Lions played very, very well yesterday, Taz, but that defensive front for Philadelphia playing very underwhelming football right now, and they've got to get it going for Schwartz at that Eagle team. And Wentz is missing throws left and right as well. But the Lions are 2-0-1. There you go. For Matt Patricia, year one was a disaster. Year two off to a nice start.
All right, we'll get the people on hold. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. You know, people want to talk about football.
Yeah, and we'll touch upon Michigan. Yes. What a disaster for the Michigan Wolverines. We'll get into that as well. Up at Camp Randall, they got ran over by the Wisconsin Badgers. That comes your way next. It's Taz and Moose on a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, don't miss Spence Jr. versus Porter Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Order now live on pay-per-view, also available on the Fox Sports app.
We're talking a lot of football, a lot of NFL.
Yes.
From the beginning of the show, this is so much great stuff to talk about. Let's go out to South Carolina to talk to James, listening on SiriusXM. James, you're on with Taz and Moose. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
What's going on, buddy?
First of all, man, I wouldn't worry about your Bills. They won the games this year they were supposed to win.
True.
Y'all got a good defense. Josh Allen is a lot better this year than he was last year. So y'all got an extra member of Bills Mafia this weekend because, like you, I'm a Patriot hater.
Nice.
So I hope the refs beat the Patriots, to be honest with you.
Oh, bro, that would never happen. You know better than that. Oh, they love them.
I know it wouldn't, but it would be a national holiday if it ever happened.
Your lips to God's ears, man, no doubt. James, appreciate the call. I wish that would happen. The refs, they love the Pats. Oh, my God, please. Don't touch Tom. Remember we talked about that? Who was that? The defensive lineman said he overheard.
Yeah, linebacker for the Dolphins.
Yeah, don't touch Tom.
Don't hit Tom. We touched upon that last week. Yeah, it'll be a good one this week up in Orchard Park, as you guys, I'm sure Bills Mafia will be representing very, very well. Team that didn't. Yeah, what's that?
They'll be partying.
Yes, I'm sure they will, to say the very least.
Yeah, right?
A team that didn't represent over the course of the weekend was out to Ann Arbor, up in Camp Randall, I should say. Was the Michigan Wolverines. Noon start on Saturday, and the blink of an eye, Jonathan Taylor and the boys from Wisconsin just run a roughshod over the Michigan Wolverines. And down 28-0 at one point in time, I mean, they get their doors blown off, does Michigan, as Wisconsin has themselves a game. And, you know, there's a lot of different levels to it. Certainly, you look at Jim Harbaugh's record against top 10 teams, underwhelming. You look at what he was supposed to do, revitalizing that Michigan program, underwhelming. You look at what he's, making them kind of doing for Michigan, what Nick Saban has done for Alabama, what Dabo Swinney has done for Clemson, and has not done that at all. And they continue to underwhelm. They can't beat Ohio State. Saturday was an embarrassing performance at Wisconsin. And we talk about pressure on a coach. There's certainly pressure now on Jim Harbaugh as we mix a little college football into the conversation, Taz, and what he has done or has not done at Michigan.
Yeah, I think it's just like stock rising, stock dropping. I think Harbaugh's stock has been dropping rapido with the Michigan Wolverines for sure. I mean, they sit now 2-1, where the Badgers at Wisconsin, they're 3-0. And you're right, Jonathan Taylor ran a mark over 200 yards, as you say. I mean, and I'm happy for the quarterback. I've mentioned his name before here. I know him. My son knows him. Jack Cohn, who's the quarterback for Wisconsin. Jack was 13 of 16, 128 yards. And he's a hard worker. And he got a opportunity there, Jack did, because Alex Hornibrook, as you know, Moose, was the starter for 2 years. And then he transferred to Florida State. And then Jack stepped in. Alex Hornibrook was a year old, I believe. Then Jack's a junior, and Alex Hornibrook's a senior. So anyway, that's not the topic. The topic is Harbaugh, right? So, yeah, I think that stock dropping rapidly. Jim Harbaugh, I think this could be the last year he's coaching that team. I don't care what his contract is or what it is. That alumni, the money behind that program, behind that university, and behind Michigan football, they need to win. They need to win. They want to win. And look, Wisconsin at home's tough. Wisconsin went to the game ranked 13th, where Michigan went to the game ranked 11th. So they're both ranked, and not just two big, you know, strong, powerful programs in the Big Ten, but nationally, I'm talking about. So, you know, but it was a beating. It was a beating. And that's just more or less what most people talked about as far as the college football weekend, was this beating the Badgers put on the Wolverines.
Yeah, it certainly was. And, you know, we'll see where the season does end up for Michigan, who are now, a 2-1 team. They've got more important games up on the slate. Maybe if he beats Ohio State, people forget about this game against Wisconsin. I'm surprised. I thought Harbaugh, not based on his success with the 49ers, but based on what he was able to do with Stanford. And how he was able to do, I believe, the college before that was at San Jose State, or I forget what the college was before that, where he had a lot of success. I thought going to Michigan, understanding that program, understanding the Big Ten, I thought he would, and as good of an NFL coach as there was when he was coaching the San Francisco 49ers, I thought he'd have a lot more success than he's had. And it's not like they've had losing years. They just have not won big games and have not played well in some of these big games. There have been times they play close games and have lost those games, Taz, but ultimately I thought it was a home run hire by the Michigan Wolverines, and it hasn't been. And it surprises me because I still think he's a really good head coach, but something's got our eye up there. And Saturday's performance was an eye-opening performance of those that have and those that don't, because the field was slanted one way, and that was toward Wisconsin.
You're exactly right. And look, if you look at Harbaugh and this Michigan team, they played Army in the Big House at home the week prior, and they won the game in two overtimes, 24-21. That's Army. No disrespect to the kids at the Service Academy and to these people that are going to defend
San Diego,
our country.
I'm sorry.
No disrespect on them, and I'll be the first one to tell you how tough the Service Academy programs are. Those kids, those athletes, are a different cut. They're going to defend our country. So they're a little bit different type of 18, 19, and 20, and 21-year-olds that you have at Army, Navy, and Air Force and stuff like that as far as sports goes. But, I mean, you can't have, and I think that game was in Michigan at the Big House, you can't take a Patriot League team like Army and have them take you to two overtimes, and then you finally win the game, and then you turn around, go on the road to Camp Randall and get smoked by the Badgers and in conference beatdown. You know what I mean? So I think they got Rutgers next. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they do have Rutgers, then it's Iowa, Illinois, Penn State, right. Notre Dame, Michigan State, and then they close out the year at Ohio State a couple days after Thanksgiving on November the 30th. So, I mean, there's a lot more challenges ahead here for the Michigan Wolverine program. And you're right, 2 weeks ago they did struggle against Army at home. They're a difficult team to prepare for. Maybe that should have been a sign of things to come. But I did not expect – I liked Wisconsin to win on Saturday. I did not expect them to win in the style and fashion which they did. And if they continue to struggle, Taz, against – not Rutgers this week, but Iowa, if they struggle at home against Iowa and lose, Penn State on the road, Dame at home, Michigan State at home, Ohio State. I mean, they've got a lot of meaningful, impactful home games coming up ahead. If they lose, two or three of those, you're right, Jim Harbaugh is probably going to be out at the end of the season.
There's a great, you know as well as me, there's a great chance three of those big home games against the Hawkeyes, against the Nittany Lions, against the Fighting Irish, they could definitely lose to two of those teams. That Notre Dame football team, I know they lost. They're a good team. Okay,
yeah, they showed it on Saturday night.
That's right. They're a real good team. And Iowa's no joke. And these are all ranked. Okay, they're all ranked teams. So, you know, ranked in the top 15. So I could see Michigan losing two of those three home games against either Iowa, Penn State, and Notre Dame.
Yeah,
for sure.
And you'd like to know, you know, the interesting thing from my perspective is, you know, I'd like to know where it's going to lie. You know, and I'm sure books will be written if he should be ousted at the end of the season, if things do go poorly here. Why did it go so poorly? Where did he fail? What did he fail? Why didn't he build upon his success at Stanford in San Francisco with the 49ers? Is ultimately he was brought in to be the guy, the golden child for Michigan, been anything but. 855-212-4CBS. Taz Moose with you. 2 hours down. We're taking it right up until 9. The 3 comes your way next, right here on a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.